Dear ones, this is the seventh choir. Traditionally, in each choir, I speak of the nodes and the nulls, this system, and then I match up one with the one that you represent. Mont Blanc will have a partner in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about the relationship between these nodes and nulls. It is not linear. I cannot stand here easily and give you non-linear information because you hear in a linear way. You think in a linear way. Some have said, well, Cryon, you're activating them. That is incorrect. You're bringing them online. That is incorrect. I'll paint a picture for you that is not fully accurate, but it gives you an idea of how this works. These nodes and nulls were placed here as time capsules. And they don't have anything in them. They are meant to work at the right time. They were here working with the grids of the system, even before the shift. So you might say they existed and they did something. But the design was to fully come into a place of their own after the shift. Imagine 24 human beings in a complex scenario in 24 rooms. And there are doors in every single room that open to the others. Now that's already linear, and that's not accurate. Because you'd have to see it clearly in a multidimensional way to know that each room actually has doors that open to all the rest. That is complicated. But for now, imagine the 24 rooms, and you'll have 12 that are positive, let's say, and 12 that are negative, wanting to come together in order to build a greater energy than they could alone. The first question you'd say is, are the humans already alive and working? Yes, they're just alone. And so as we start to match up pairs, we open doors to allow them to see one another, to find one another. Now, the complex part of this that we really haven't discussed much is that the nodes and the null pairs are not set up as existing known pairs. As you, the choir, have sung the notes, the phrases, the tones, and have met together with the intent, it changes the energy of what the nodes and the nulls are able to do. And so therefore, every time a match is given, it's the match of the moment. Unknown until the moment. Actually, if you want to say it, you are the ones deciding what is what and what goes with what. And so every single time there has been a match, it's been the match of the day. Because of the tones, because of the intent, because of the sacredness of what you're doing. So the doors have been opened slightly, and now you have many of the nodes and the nulls having access to one another, starting to build a network. Now, it doesn't get stronger, that's linear. It simply becomes more effective. Strength, force, all of those things are linear. This process is actually known in some of your computer program models. It's a non-linear process where parts and pieces and the relationships of them grow and come together, discover one another, and build upon that. It's the best example I can give you of a non-linear system of nodes and nulls. So it's not what you think. When you draw lines between the known nodes and nulls, it makes a pretty pattern in linearity. If you knew how to do it in a more quantum way, through the doors, it's sacred geometry. That may not be discovered until you know what the doors do. I wish to match up Mont Blanc in the northern hemisphere with the southern hemisphere today. And it will be with Mount Aconcagua, which is in South America. Blatantly, the north meets the south. That is what the entire shift is about. Northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere coming together in a way that creates a more balanced planet where compassion is universal and not just belonging to one hemisphere. It starts here, it starts now. That is the match of the day. Dear ones, there's always a section where we address Yayi. It's quite a lineage, Yayi, to do what you've done. And I'm going to reflect this all the way back, unbelievably. Almost 50,000 years. I want to tell you a little about Pleiadian biology, their science. But first, I want to honor the lineage of Yayi. We said this would be the year for you, and it has been. Your science is growing, and you're starting to remember things that were given to you by your mother. They include the science that you're developing now, for she passed on to you information and put it in your Akash, so that when you awoke during the shift, if there was one, you would begin to remember. And you have. There are a couple of interesting things, however, that may take place. You're going to get some awards. There will be recognition. But no longer can you stay in the closet. They will know you as the weird one. Don't be surprised if some of the award banquets don't ask you to speak. They're afraid you'll sing whale tones. Not only that, I want you to think of the lineage of Yayi and these choirs in 1,000 years. Perhaps 2,000 or 3,000 years. There will be acknowledgement that you did something, that esoterically there was a change. They may even call it the group of shamans. They won't understand exactly what took place. The records will have gone. But they will do their best to reconstruct what you did, what Yayi did, how you accomplished something that was dynamically quantum, even before it was understood to be possible. But the strangest thing that we can give you may be what happens when somehow in a preserved landfill of some manner a choir book is discovered. And the scholars will say this had to be the most complex light language they'd ever seen. And they will study it and study it to try to figure out what are the meanings of the profundities of ang, ang, yowie, ha, 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 oh. But nothing more mysterious than cycle 11 on the left-hand side. This will keep them busy for decades. Todd, you don't have to do any more pineal tones. You're finished. But you can, if you wish. And that is literal. The tones needed in order to do what you've done have been completed. And what you do from now on by free choice is the enhancement that Yahweh does, not from the past, but from now. In a maturity, having remembered all that you've remembered, you can develop the tones now, not from memory, not from Urakash, but from the maturity and the evolvement through the seven choirs. So it is up to you what you do. There is no assignment but one. But the assignment is from the heart. I want to tell you about your mother. It's difficult in physics to change between that which is multidimensional and corporeal. And even though physics can be manipulated, and it's true that through consciousness and understanding of how it works, you can have corporeal beings travel long distances without mass. But when they reconvert to corporealness and an emulation, especially that the Pleiadians needed in order to seed you, it tended to age them. And so they really only got two of them. Once coming here, and then when they decided to go into a multidimensional state again, they could live almost indefinitely as long as they did not reemerge in a corporeal form. There was a time when this was needed and a time when it was done for all of them. There are certain places on this planet that are renowned for their grouping and for their presence, and this choir has been to several. One is Shasta. They're also, of course, in the mountain of Hawaii. And people have seen the lights and felt the energy and have known that there is something very, very special in these places where they still exist today, not in interference, but in celebration, watching the handiwork, especially during the shift of what they've done. Todd, there was a time I want to talk about with your mom. Last year, I asked you to develop two lullabies, and there's a reason. For it brought you into contact with her when she was teaching you the light and responsibility as a child that you would then have as Ya'i in Lemuria, as Ovocytus during the shift. But there was another song she gave you. When you're ready, Todd, and you wish to touch your heart, it was the song of goodbye. When she had to make the final change, and she implanted into your Akash this melody that you will sing, that told you of the future, and told you that she was eternal. But as a young man, you would never see her in corporeal form again. It has beautiful lyrics that you know, a melody that you know. Though the melody that was sung during your vision, you probably haven't remembered, but that was it. I want you to develop one lullaby. It was her last. Orchestrate it like you've done the others. There's power in this. Do you see how the choir has reacted to the lullabies? Do you see what has happened? Do you see the emotion, the compassion, as they realize what they represent? This one will be important. I would never have asked you to do such a thing years ago. But you now stand on the cusp of full remembrance of so many things. Let it be in the next choir, in the magic place called Glastonbury, that you would reveal her final words to you. And in that place, we will stand and sing them, and remember, and celebrate a job well done. Thank you, Yai. Dear ones, here's a personal message from you to me. I have been watching you. Here's the message you've given me. A bee really can fly. It looks impossible. It would seem to defy the laws of physics as you see them. But a bee is not an airplane. In fact, the relationship it has with the air and lift is how it flies. It's one of the many insects, when analyzed, you would see clearly that the both up and down motion of its wings, because it can curve them and bend them, create lift. Therefore, it's constantly in a state of lift as it spreads and flaps the little wings, creating something that is almost miraculous. This is how I see you. This is the message that you've been giving me. The relationship that the bee has to air is its survival. What is the relationship that you have? And it has to be something a little more than most for you to sit in the chairs. And the message that you have been sending all along is that you understand so much of this. But dear ones, I want to anchor it. I receive your message. And I say to you, there is a bigger relationship, even than you know. Even bigger than that which is the nodes and the nulls. And it's personal. How do you define you? You put the name that you're known by on a piece of paper and you put it on the wall and you look at it. The question is, who am I? And you can't answer it. I can't either. And the reason is I don't see the relationship. But I see it with you, not with the name on the wall. The relationship that you have with that which is inside, which that is outside, really shows here. But there's more. You stand on the cusp of a discovery of a relationship that you didn't expect. It's almost a relationship with yourself, except it's not quite yourself. We have asked you for so long to learn to love yourself, to know yourself, to heal yourself. And Finally, it comes down to this. What if I told you that there was you with you, almost like a mirror of yourself, a multidimensional you that has always been there? This is fairly new information, and yet it is also what the ancients taught. For in some of their dream times, in some of their ceremonies, they saw this, and they knew what it was. This is the you that is the quantum one. There are two words that have been misused over and over in this you call the esoteric age. They are quantum and nano. Neither one are used properly. Quantum is now the same as saying multidimensional. Could there be a multidimensional you? It mirrors what you do, but it's not part of you unless you have a relationship with it. And what would be that relationship? That relationship would have to be something that you haven't seen before or don't know about yet. You're breaking the compassion barrier. Dear ones, there is a type of multidimensional physics in compassion. Compassion, when generated, creates a relationship with the air, with the elements, with physics itself. And you have been trying to do it all of this time by yourself, not realizing that there is a quantum you next to you that's all about compassion. It's almost like the missing piece, a part of the human being that is very, very well known. You might say it's the higher self, but it's not. The higher self is a part of you that is higher vibrating. This one is ready to meet you. Some have discovered this multidimensional self and have joined with it and realized that was the solution. For they found the best friend they ever had. It was okay to fall in love with the alternate you, because it is a multidimensional you, a part of you. And then you start helping one another. Can you begin to see a relationship of lift? A relationship that lifts you out of being singular, because you're not. A relationship so that you don't have to bear the burdens all by yourself. What if I told you there was another you inside you that's starting to emerge in a multidimensional way that helps you? You see it all the time. You don't know what it is. You hear the voice of the alternate you when you have the intuition. Much comes from the pineal, much comes from the brain and the heart. But the alternate you is starting to emerge, something brand new. You start to realize you are multiple, not singular. But the multiple is beautiful, appropriate, helpful, and it's the answer. What if there is a you in you that doesn't have the problems you have, is healthier than you are, and who will live longer if you let it than you will? Some of you are meeting this alternate you, and the combination is a relationship of the parts of you. The multidimensional you, the 3D you, the higher self you. This is the relationship to the parts we speak of. And when you start to see it, you start to realize that you can alter the 3D you, because you can manipulate the field between you. You can manipulate the space between you in a way that will create solutions for everything you have. It's a new way of looking at it. And some will say, well, I'm not sure I understood that. Let me tell you, you don't have to understand it. The bee flies fine without understanding it. So can you. I think you get the idea. Let me tell you something. This group is unique. Those who have participated in this esoteric endeavor of the choir are very different in the way they think, what they expect, what they see, and what they create. It's an advanced group that I speak to. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's why you're in the chair. Do not accept what others tell you you should be. Do not accept the reality those around you tell you you should have. Accept only what you know to be the reality of something extremely different, extremely beautiful, always benevolent, not harmful, and compassionate for all those around you. I'll be back. For those listening, you have not heard any of the music. I speak of those who are not here. And so you don't have the feeling of the lullabies. Elation, celebration, beauty, compassion. It's a great way to end the day. Dear ones, we do not allow you to say goodbye. The lineage of the choirs continue. And those here will always be part of what happens next, regardless of the personal attendance. If you cannot make it, you will be part of it. Someday, when the choirs are done, even then, there will be no goodbye. For this is in a circle, it is perpetual, as is love, as is the evolution of this planet with promise and more. And so as we leave this place, there is no goodbye. The ancients never had a word for goodbye. From civilization to civilization, they carefully constructed a word that meant both. And sometimes the word also meant I love you. All of it is together as we depart this place as a group who will always be together. And so it is.